So let me just begin with a word of prayer. Father Almighty, it is an amazing time to be able to be here with us. In this world, there are many things that are happening, and many of them are not in alignment with your will. But you have placed us here at this time, at this place, in order to be able to share your word. And so as we gather here today, I just thank you for having your word and to have that word before us today. And just as a reminder as we go through this, that how the great love that you have for us and how important it is to stay in touch with you, because that's really ultimately what this is all about. Father, it's a grateful to be here today, and it's grateful to be with all of these people here today. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so the message is the Word of God blesses and what it means to us. So a lot of times, you know, we have scripture verses and we put those out. But to me, the important thing is what you take home. Right? It's one thing just to have, you know, scripture verses kind of spoken. And it's good because we have no idea. I have absolutely no idea how these messages touch you folks. You know, because you've got your lives, you've got things going on in your lives. But really, with the help of God and the Holy Spirit, you know, the words that are spoken, they usually hit home somehow. And it's because your heart is ready to receive what God has for you. And that's really, it's very important to be able to have that. So a lot of times when I'm reading Scripture, I'll just always say, God, what is it you need me to see? What is it you need me to know at this time here? Even though we've read Scripture before, it's just important to be able to have all of this. At any rate, in this case, because we've been going over a series about the Word of God and the various things that we have, we know that the Word of God is eternal. We know that the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is attainable. We know that the Word of God is also, it blesses us. And we don't always understand how it blesses us, because the world interferes with sometimes those blessings. And we look at what the blessings are that God has, and we think it has to do with the blessings that the world gives us, and it's not. But let me just throw some scriptures out here to show you what it is that I'm talking about. In Numbers, I use this scripture verse an awful lot during some graveside services and stuff, because for some reason, for me anyhow, it means an awful lot, because we don't know really what God has for us. But what we do know is that God has specific words that He wants His people to know. In this case here, in the book of Numbers, Moses was told by God, tell the people this prayer. Right? This is what God is saying to Moses, and he let the people know what I want them to know in these various words. And he says this, number 6, 22, verses 27. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This is what God wants the Israelite people to know. Right? He wants us, the Israel, in this case, you know, we can also relate it to us, to turn towards him. Because God is turning towards us. And we'll see that there's blessings that come from that. And that He holds us. We get to be able to see Him and His works. And it's not just that, but that God writes His name upon His people. That's pretty cool. That's Old Testament. You know what happens in the New Testament? God resides in our hearts. It's even greater than what this Old Testament prayer stuff is. Dorn.
That's a very powerful prayer. This is one that we should practice all the time. I think that's a very powerful prayer. He uses that prayer to bless an entire nation.
Yeah.
We can use it to bless our church, our people, the friends, the whoever, you know.
Oh, very much so, yeah. And like I said, I love this prayer, and I can always go through Numbers chapter 6 and find it, because it's like, I like it. It means an awful lot to me, and I just know it just talks about God coming into our lives and Him being important in our lives enough so that without Him, there wouldn't be blessings. Right? It'd be just like everyone else in the world.
Marcia? Yes, that is one of the songs that we sing.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yep. Yeah, and that's what's really nice about some of the Christian music is that's what they do. They take scripture and they put it into a tune, and sometimes it's a repeat thing, and it puts it in our minds. Let's go to Psalms, and in this psalm, I think it's 115, it talks about the whole. I'm just taking a small section of it, but the whole psalm itself is really a reflection of looking to God. And not just looking to God just to say, well, there's a God that's up there and we want some blessings from God. But it's recognizing that we need God in all aspects of our lives. And we get to this part here in verses 12 through 13. It says, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. And we know that because we know who God is. We know His character. And God wants nothing but the best for us. And sometimes that might mean correcting us from our bad ways to get us in alignment with His will, because that's really when His blessings will come out the most and really, really be shared, and to know that, you know, that we're living in unity with the Spirit. Because when we live outside of that unity, then there's issues that happen. It's kind of like two spouses, and one wants this, the other one wants that, and neither one is going to budge. Now, what kind of relationship does that make? You know, it makes arguments, it makes division. And then, you know, if you've got kids, the kid, it becomes restless and everything. It's why it's important for parents to be as one. And we recognize that as we have God as all of our God, it's not like we have individual gods that we come together and worship our own individual God. We worship one God. That unites us because we have the same concept of who God is. We have the same commandments of God and how we're supposed to live. And we appreciate that because it brings that unity between us. And this is something where we start looking at it, because as we come to know who God is, we realize that we fall short. And that's okay, because God will take you where you are today. He's not going to leave you there. I'll guarantee that. But He's going to hold you and He's going to bring you closer to Him. But He says, look at this here in Romans 6, 21 through 23. It says, what benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? All right, now, everyone here, I'm sure, is ashamed of something that they've done in their lives or even are doing currently. We all experience that. That is nothing that's new. And sometimes we'll say, we'll put the blame, because I drew the short stick. I've got the right to be angry. I've got the right to be able to make life difficult for other people around me. And it's like, but when you come to know God, you start to compare yourself with God and not just the people around you. You might say, oh, I'm better than that person, or I'm better than that person. I'm no murderer. I've never killed anybody, you know. So I'm not that bad. But if you compare yourself with God, you are bad. I'm sorry, I hate to say that. And, it, you know, coming from the pastor, is like, you are bad. Well, I'm just as bad as you, and I need God just as much as you. And when you start to see what God has in store for you, you look back on your life, look back on my life, and then you're going to say, yeah, there's things that I'm really ashamed of. And I did those things outside of God's will. Maybe because I didn't really know who God was at the time. I didn't think it was such a big deal, or it's like, what is the big deal with all of that? But in this essence here, I'm going to tell you right now, anything that you do outside of the will of God, you will be ashamed for. Because it will be exposed to you one point or another, maybe even as you are standing before God, saying, did you share my gospel the way that I intended you to share it? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just talking about the things that we do. We have to be accountable for all the things that we say. Every word, oh my gosh, every word, yeah. All of our actions are accountable before God. Salvation is covered, right? Make sure that we're separate on that sort of thing. Salvation is separate. But God wants us to live a life worthy of being called a Christian. And sometimes before we know what that really means, we recognize that we have done some things that are out of alignment with God. And we become ashamed of those things.
Pastor, before you go on, since His Word is alive and it ministers to us, and there's nothing that happens that the Bible doesn't address, but I spent a length of time with Fern yesterday, and we were talking and stuff, and I don't think Terry would mind me sharing this, because her daughter shared her testimony about being a drug addict. We all saw where she is now. But when I read this we were talking about that yesterday, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Well, what's Tori? Is it
Tori? Tori, yes.
Tori. She went to visit Fern last Sunday after the gathering. And she said, you know, she said, the things I did and the way I lived, she said, I can't even, my head can't even wrap around it. And she said, I'm so even ashamed of all of that. And those things result in death. So a drug addict, an alcoholic, whatever it is, it's going to result in death.
Right.
But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, look at what has happened in her life. It's totally turned around. She looks so healthy from when she was here before. She's heading a ministry. She was so excited about that and getting that new building for more drug addicts and people that are... And I'm like, oh my goodness, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? It's kind of overwhelming. The Bible just addresses all those things. We just talked about it yesterday, yeah. And there it is.
There it is, yeah. Yeah. No, and I appreciate that, Pat, because the whole point is you're never ashamed of anything that you've done until you come into connection with God. Because you don't understand, yeah, what is good and what's bad. And like Pat was saying, and like Scripture says, all of this, all sin leads to death. Right? So an adulterous affair in a marriage leads to the death of marriage. Right? And squandering your money and everything leads to the death of your finances, which leads to multiple problems down the road. And when we choose to lie to other individuals, you know, and we live off of those lies, that then leads to death, right, in terms of your standing with other people, because people will know what you're like. Sin always leads to death, however we look at that aspect of there. But as we go on, he says, but now that you have been set free from sin, right, how do you become set free from sin? Yeah, you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right? Free, you're free from the power of sin. It no longer has control over you. It doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to be able to choose to sin, but it doesn't have the power over you the way it has over non-believers. Right? And that's very, very important to be able to do it. And that benefit, right? The blessing that comes from knowing God and choosing to serve Him. Not serving the world or even serving yourself, but you're serving Him so that you can serve others, you know, the way Christ served, is that it leads to what they call holiness. And you think of holiness as being a purity in your spirit. Well, we all know we are really far from that purity. But when you connect with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we get His purity in our lives. Sorry? Yes, yes, right. Yep. And it, and the end result is that we're going to have eternal life with God in a place where there is no sin. Again, it's just it's so neat. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to emphasize stuff, and you're going to see this as you go through the scripture and stuff like that, that you can't have holiness without Christ. You can't really have blessings without Christ. You can't have goodness without Christ. If you want those things, if you hunger for them, you need to hunger for Christ. Because that's where the focus is, in where it all comes together. So in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 and 9, this is what it says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Okay, so how can you rejoice in the Lord when you've got some sickness going on? When someone in your family has just passed away, a close one with you. How can you rejoice during those times? Well, you rejoice because you have Christ. And there's still sadness, there's still mourning because of the loss of an individual. I get that sort of thing. But in this case here, you cannot rejoice without God. You can have a temporary high, you go to a concert and you come out all pumped and everything. 2 days later, as you wake up in the next morning, guess what? You're back to the same old deal that you did before. But with God, it's not that way. This is like an eternal thing that we have. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, this is one of those neat scripture verses that I like. Trust God, and you will be blessed. And you have no idea how that blessing will come to you. You have no idea what that blessing is going to be like. But what God says is that peace will come upon you. Peace even in a storm. Peace even in the times. We can take Tori, for example. We brought about her. She didn't realize how bad straight she was with the drug use that she was doing. Terry, even in amongst with her daughter going through that, found peace. Do you know how she found peace? She had Jesus. And she relied on Jesus. That gave her peace. Of course, she continued with the prayers and the petitions, as it says that over here. And look at the end result that we have so far. We don't even know where Tori is going to be able to go farther later on in life and stuff. But it's just amazing, her turnaround. And now think of Terry and how she feels about her daughter and how she feels about her relationship with God, because He heard her prayer. And He responded. Now, I'm sure there's many other stories right here in this room. The very same thing. Different circumstances, but yet God intervened and God touched. Some of us are still praying for those individuals that we're still praying for. We're in that area. But yet when we turn it over to God, that peace that transcends all understanding means that you can just have a peace about it. When the rest of the world, if they were going through it, they'd be throwing a hissy fit. They'd be complaining. They'd be blaming. They'd be accusing. You know, all those sort of things that Satan would be doing as well. But we have peace. And that peace is literally Christ in us. And we rely on Him during those tough times. And we give Him praise during the times that we have that are really good. And it says in this, as we continue on, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, we call this the, what is it called, Pat?
The Gepi test,
because she has a friend called Gepi, and she just loved this verse. And she said, if you're not sure if what you're doing is correct or not with God, read this verse. And if it's not noble, if it's not right, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not admirable, if it's not excellent or praiseworthy, don't do it. And I think we can all figure out what that means. That's the Gepi test. All right, so remember, put this down in your Bible, you know, circle it, whatever, it's there. And I'm going to tell you what's neat about this particular verse is you cannot think about what's noble. You cannot think about what's right. You cannot think about what's lovely or admirable without Christ in your heart. You can pretend to do those things, but as soon as there's a conflict in the world, all of a sudden that just disappears and you're back to the way that you are without pretending to be nice. Because that's the way the world works. God doesn't work that way. With Him inside of you, you have the ability to be able to do the Gepi test. Which is really good. We need that test that is there. It says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the peace of God will be with you. Right? There's other people that know God and that they do think about lovely things. They think about things that are right. They think about the things that are there. I mean, that's my hardest thing is my mind wanders. You know, and it goes in places where it really oughtn't be. And that's my prayer. So that God, restrain that thought. Hold it in close to you so it doesn't go outside of that. Because when I do go outside, you know, I pull up all these scenarios and stuff like that, and it's not good. Right? And then when it actually happens, I have to deal with something, it's never like any of my 1,000 scenarios that I put out there, you know. And in most cases it works out because I just need to learn, again, to trust God. You know, and just goes through that way there. But in this case here, Paul's talking about it, and Paul sets an example. And it's like we need to set an example for those around us as well. Right? Not in the pretend mode, but we need to trust God, not just for ourselves, so that others around us can be encouraged to trust God as well. Right? If we're in a spousal relationship, I keep using that today for some reason, I don't know why. But if one spouse is not doing so well, the other one there is trying to, you know, pull things together, your example of being godly within that relationship, even if the other spouse isn't godly, right, is a blessing to them. And they will see that. And God sees you sharing that blessing. Those good things. Because what you're doing is you're sharing Christ in the things that you do. You may not be throwing the Bible at them, but sometimes our actions speak louder than our words and stuff. We need to be able to stay in that part of thing. But let me just reemphasize again. You can't do any of this stuff without Christ. If you want your thoughts to be good, if you want your actions to be good, you need Christ. Plain and simple. In Romans 5, 1 through 5 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. Let's just stop there for a moment. We have received peace with God. What separates man from God? Sin. And because we have a sinful nature in us, that has to be dealt with. In the Old Testament times, they had priests and they had certain sacrificial things that had to be done, right? A constant sacrifice. In fact, there was daily sacrifices that were offered for the sins of the people. There was sacrifices that were offered even up to once a year for the nation and stuff because of their sin. Every year, every day, these sacrifices were done. Why? Because they kept sinning. And sin was never dealt with. It was just covered over in a way. Right? It was things were atoned for by inadequate sacrifices. Until the day where the perfect sacrifice was offered, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Now there are no more sacrifices that need to be offered. And you're like, yeah, we don't have to be raising sheep and, you know, having a big altar with blood all over it and disgusting stuff like that. But there's a horrendous thing. And you think about those sacrifices that were offered. When you offered a sacrifice, it was you that slit the throat on the animal. It wasn't the priest. It was you. Your sin. But Jesus Christ took our sins upon the cross. Right? And so we get this area here, since we've been justified, and that justified, I've heard it said, just as if I've never sinned, right? We've been cleansed of that thing through our faith in Jesus Christ, that we now have a relationship with God that you could never have before because of sin. So we have gained access into that relationship. And then it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, the hope is that, and it's not like a hope where I hope, you know, we're going to have nice weather tomorrow. This is a guaranteed hope. The hope is eternal life with God. That will come. And it's here already, but not yet sort of thing. That we've got. And we've got to understand that, yeah, we still live in the world. We still live in a sinful place in our bodies. We still have desires that are sinful. But yet God has already covered that for the believers. Right? The rest of the world is left to destruction. Right? And that's why God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Starts all over in the sense of what we've got. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given, whom He gives us. Now, this is the perfect statement that says, yeah, you're still going to go through some tough times. That's life. Now, because you're a Christian, sometimes people think, my problems are gone. I don't have any issues anymore because I'm a Christian. The debt collectors are not going to come over this way here. I don't have to do those court appearances that are there. I don't even have to work because I am God's child. He's going to take care of me. Yeah, well, that's kind of a warped perception of what it means to be a Christian. Okay? You're still going to have some troubles in this world. It's how you deal with those troubles and who is with you while you go through them. Now, who am I talking about when I say going with them? But Jesus. Jesus will be there with you as you go through that. And that will strengthen your relationship with God. Right? So when it talks about having that the suffering that we go through, things that happen that we don't really plan for, a car accident comes through, or a sickness comes into our family, something, you know, that's a life-changing, right? We have those types of sufferings. But through that, through staying connected with God, we learn about perseverance and staying in His Word, staying connected with God, even when sometimes we feel like we want to pull away and just get angry. But we trust God even in those hard times. Because as we get through that part of it, right, that changes the character inside of me. I no longer just start swearing like I used to swear. That doesn't come out of me. Right? I don't get angry when somebody cuts me off in a, you know, with their car driving and stuff like that. Used to, you know, rail on the horn and just, you know, throw them, you know, point up to the ceiling and, you know, stuff like that. But what we do all of a sudden is like, you know, you just send a prayer. Lord, protect them. Because why? It's no longer me that's replying to that issue. It's God in me that starts to reply in that. Right? And we get to that point. So my character changes and becomes more like Christ. And then, because I'm more like Christ, I rely more on the Father and I trust the Father, that the promises that He's given to me through Scripture and through just sometimes one-on-one, is that I can trust that. And I have hope in all of that stuff. Now, none of this is possible without Christ. So when we talk about His Word blesses if you receive His Word. And if you take it in and believe on that. He says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Right, as you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have God inside of you. Now, we've talked about this at Bible study and everything, so just understand that if God is inside you, no demon can reside in you. Yeah. The demon of addiction is not inside you anymore. The demon of envy is not inside you. The demon of guilt is not inside you. There's plenty of demons. That you are freed from all of that. And we trust God all the more. Because sometimes, you know, we want to go back to the old ways. We just, you know, there's certain things that makes us feel good through that. And it's temporary. But it's not what we want. But God says He gives us the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ when He was on the cross. Brought back to the new life. Right? That Spirit is inside of us as believers. And let me tell you, that blesses me. Beyond anything else that this world will ever give me and stuff. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18, he says, therefore, do not lose heart. Very simply put, God is always there for you. God is leading you in the right direction. Trust Him. Don't lose heart.
He tried to talk to me a couple days ago about the
2 days, the Lord tried to tell me where it was. I tore the closet apart 2 days, and He kept telling me, no. So I sat down in my chair yesterday, and He said, look out on the porch. I did. I went out on the porch, and there was two hung together. Oh, 2 days, I would not listen.
Well, we serve a living God who has a living word.
Yes.
In season when we need it, which God listens.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Thanks, Beth. All right, so as we get into this, it says, though outwardly we're wasting away, right? Our bodies are destined to die. We're going to have that physical death, and we go through these times where we, you know, our bodies are just breaking down. Basically, from day one, you know, after we're born, death is going to be down the picture there, right? And we know that. It's kind of our walk of life. And it says, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, right? Our spirit is being renewed day by day because of the Holy Spirit being in us, God Himself. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, this is a kind of a hard thing to say when somebody's going through a tough time. But, you know, you'll get through this. Others have gotten through it. And even if God takes you, or takes your loved one, right? And if you know God, if they know God as Lord and Savior, they're done with that broken body. They're done with that problem that they've been going through. They're in a place free of all of that now. And we should be rejoicing for all of that and recognizing that. And look at that, and it knowing God outweighs everything that this world has to offer. Everything. Your focus should be on Jesus all the time. Because without Him, you can't do any good. If you're not attached to that vine, no fruit comes out. It says, so that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, the worldly things, but on what is unseen, the spiritual. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In Galatians 3, 14, 13 through 14 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Right? What was the promise that was given to Abraham? That he will be a blessing to all nations. That those who bless him will be blessed, and those who curse him will be cursed. Yep. We have that blessing. As a child of God, God expects us to share His blessings with others. Well, how do you share those? Oh, you have little seminars people pay to come to and everything, then you can talk about them. No. You share your blessing every day with who you are. You rejoice every moment that you get to meet with somebody and talk. And I'll have to say that the trip that we did, that was that. It was that very thing. Like, we all enjoyed each other's company. I don't know how to explain that. It was just really neat. There was a certain synergy between all of us that we just, you know, we would sit down and talk to whoever it was that was in our group, or even people that we were, you know, sitting in this, you know, big theater or in a small theater, and there's somebody else talking to us, and I'm, you know, we're talking with them. It's no big deal, right? You're sharing. You're sharing God's love with them by, you know, just sharing whatever's going on at the point right there. And we know that this promise even comes to the Gentiles. It was hard for the Jews to accept that sort of thing. They thought God was so good that they should just keep God for themselves. That's not what God had planned for the Jews. The Jews were to be the center focus of who God is and share God with everyone. They didn't do that. Right? And it led to them actually rejecting God. That when the Messiah came, I said, you're no God. We need to share and continue to share. Because we're the light, you know, God's light is in us, and we need to share that sort of thing. In Romans 8, 37 through 39, it says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And the only way that we can be more than conquerors is if we have Christ in us. That is the blessing. And you're going to say, was that it? And I'm going to say, yeah. That's all you need. You don't need more stuff. You don't need more riches. You need more of God. That's end of story. But we tend to keep seeking those worldly things, thinking that's going to give us, you know, a better shirt. You know, that's got a nice label in the back, and people recognize it because it's made out of silk, and, you know, it's really, you know, that isn't what makes you who you are. Your character means everything to God. How you respond to those events that happen in the world means everything to God. And it's this whole idea over here is that we are conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, so if nothing can separate us from God, what is the greatest thing then? God. What should you be striving for in your life? The greatest thing, which is God. There's nothing separating you from Him other than yourself. You choose that. God's already made a path through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins. Wow, isn't that a blessing? To be able to know that and to realize that it's on our shoulders. God's already done everything that's there. And there's nothing in this world that can separate us from Him. Well, my mom won't let me read. You know, God will speak to you. And God will let you know Him regardless of what's going in around you. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, it says, finally, and this is, I think, the last verse of God. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate. And humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And we'll stop right there for a minute. So, how do you do that? How can you be sympathetic? How can you live in harmony with one another? How can you love your brother? How can you be compassionate? How can you be humble? You've got to have God in you. That's the only way that you can do this. Don't try to do it yourself. You will fail. Right? And it's just a cheap imitation. You're an actor, or what they call a hypocrite, for all that. If we read on, it says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Scripture just lays stuff out for you. If you want blessings, if you want the blessings of having that relationship with God, do it. There's nothing hindering you. Start doing a Bible study. And that just might be every day, reading that scripture with your family members. Do it with your kids. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your parents. Whoever's in the home with you. That's a Bible study. There's daily devotions that we have. You know, grab one of the books or get online and do some of those. You need to get God's Word in you. Right? And that's really, really important as we get set up on this. I need to go to James here. And what I want to do is I actually want to read a little bit more. Oh, I found my paper. How about that? Right, that just tells me I don't even need to read anymore here. All right, so I want to read verses 13 through 17 that go along after this. It says this, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Okay, so we're looking at not just suffering because we're suffering or somebody's persecuting us, but it's being persecuted or suffering for Christ. Right? That's what this is all about. Doing what He wants us to do, even when the world is saying, do something different. It says this, do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. Right? So where's your security? Where's your strength? From God, not from the people around you. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Again, I'm going to say this. You can't do any of this stuff without God. There are no blessings without Him. Right? You might think they're temporary, but they dissolve into nothing. All right. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. All right? why do you believe in God? Well, you know, I was brought up that way. Not a good answer.
Yeah.
All right? Why? Why do you believe in God? Because He died for my sins, and I now know what is righteousness. I know His goodness. I know His peace. That's why I serve God. And you're going to say, someone's going to say, oh, wow. But you know what? You will make an impact on that individual like you'll have no idea, because they're going to walk away. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to think about that. And then they're going to start looking at you and see how you react differently than the rest of the people and say, there is something different about you. Well, that difference isn't about me. It's about God in me. They're going to start to see God in me because they're going to be looking for those blessings that I have, right? And that's, and it all comes from knowing God and trusting in Him. It says here also that, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Oh, remember that first verse we talked about being ashamed? Or this, I think it was the third verse maybe. Because they will start to see who God is, and they'll start to compare their thoughts with God's thoughts, and they'll become ashamed, just as we all have become ashamed of the things that we've done.
Or then they become curious.
Oh yeah. It's a start.
I had a doctor years ago ask me, and you know doctors are grounded in their science. How is it that you believe that God created all of us? And I said, how is it that you as a scientist can actually believe that billions of years ago, two opposite cells randomly got together and started life? And that's not possible. There is a force, and that force is God. The next week she took her fifth search.
Yeah, we are God's voice, and it's okay to say that. And people will maybe say, oh, you're just whacked, oh, whatever. But I don't know. I'm confident who Jesus Christ is. And I'm confident of Him in my life. And I've seen blessing after blessing. And it's so neat to be able to see blessing after blessing with other people too. You know, that's just, it's really, really phenomenal to be able to see that. The Word of God blesses. And what it means to us is that when we accept that, that our lives have to be centered around the Word of God. We can look at it, the Word of God in Scripture, or we can look at it as the capital Word, which is Christ. But all of it, God is the center of our lives and the focus of what we do. We are blessed. And the people around us will be blessed as well. And you know what? That even blesses God. We can say that. So, Father, I just thank You for Your Word here today. And thank You for drawing us in and showing us. I pray that the words that are spoken, that the Holy Spirit has already moved those into our hearts and has put a seed, a really big seed, an elephant seed in there. It's going to grow to be a humongous tree so that we can live in harmony, that we can have a peace that passes all understanding, that we can be free of the sin, the things that have bound us in the past, but now we are committed to You, to serving You the way You want us to serve. And then, as with Abraham, we become a blessing for others around us because of You in us. How important that is, and just central focused as a Christian, and it changes our lives, the outlook that we have. We pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.